This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
All right, everybody, welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. Sorry for the slight delay here. We had some technical difficulties, but we got it all worked out. This is your guest host. I don't know if I should call myself a guest host anymore. I've been hosting quite a bit. But anyway, this is your host, Charles Giuliani. Today, we got a very important, very interesting guest, Rabbi, and I hope I don't butcher your name here. Let's see if I can do this. Yisrael David Weiss.
Yeah, I pronounce that, right? Yisrael David Weiss, but it's basically the same, and it's very well done.
I'll just call you Rabbi Weiss. How's that? Can't go wrong here. He is an activist and a spokesman for a branch of, and here we go again, Neturei Karta. Did I get it?
Yes.
Ah, great. Which is an anti-Zionist group of Haredi Jews. I think I got that one right.
That's correct.
A lot of new words for me here. But anyway, for those that aren't familiar, anti-Zionist Jews oppose the corruption with the state of Israel, their treatment, or should I say mistreatment of the Palestinians. And if I believe correctly, I think you protest Israel across the board, don't you? It's legitimacy, actually calling for the end of the state or just a reformation of it.
Well, I guess yes. Let me just first let me thank you for having me on the program. It's a privilege for us, and I really thank you. And we pray to the Almighty. I pray that He should bestow upon me His truth, His wisdom, that I may convey His message and be a messenger of His truth, and so we can sanctify His name. And yes, what we Neturei Karta is basically the voice of Jews who are true to the religion, that we refuse to, in any manner, to accept the existence of the state of Israel, because Judaism basically is a religion. It's subservient to the Almighty, a covenant that we made with God to be subservient to Him. It's spirituality. And Zionism is a transformation. Zionism is the ideology behind the state of Israel and the reasons of its existence. And this is all a transformation from the Judaism that was practiced for thousands of years into a concept of a material concept, a political, nationalistic goal to have a land, to have a country as any other nation on the world. And it's totally not what what Judaism is as a religion and has been practiced till today. So we oppose it. We are very strong in our claim that they have no right to use the Jewish symbols, the Star of David, the name Israel. It's simply hijacked from Judaism, and it's being used in a transgression of the laws of the Torah. It's constantly doing criminal acts. The mere existence of the state, which I'll explain a little later, is a crime. But in order to gain control over the land of Palestine, they're of course subjugating the people who are for hundreds of years the indigenous population, the Palestinian people. They're oppressing them. They're banishing them from the home. This is all against the Jewish religion, that you're not allowed to steal or kill or oppress the people.
And isn't it true that Jews and Arabs or the Palestinians had gotten along for centuries prior to the creation of the State of Israel? It's only in recent decades that this is...
That's totally true. In fact, not only the Jews in Palestine, but contrary to this myth, to this new updated, history that states that we have a religious conflict and it's that the Muslims do not tolerate another people, and especially not the Jews. The fact of the matter is that Jews lived in every Muslim and Arab country land almost across the board, and they flourished as very religious Jewish communities. We didn't need human rights groups to protect us, and there was no necessity for it. And in Palestine, as you so poignantly pointed out, we lived together in the same courtyards as people alive today, who bear witness both from the Muslim communities and from the Jewish communities and from Christian communities, how we live together, babysat each other's children. And the fact that we have a distinctly different religion was no cause or impediment for peace. There was no impediment at all. In fact, there was no cause for strife or mistrust. We actually lived together and helped each other and had a harmonious coexistence. The fact is that since Zionism came about, which is basically, Zionism is a little over, it's around 130, 150 years old. Judaism is a religion of thousands of years. Zionism is a relatively new movement, and they decided to make their homeland in Palestine. Originally their plans were they were looking for a productive land. They wanted to go to Uganda. They weren't interested in this religious land or something. But
Theodore Herzl had called for that.
They understood that in order to get backing from the Christian evangelistic Christians and from the unaffiliated Jews who are ignorant of their religion, they'll claim that they're the gods. You know, promised the Jewish people to return to the land, so they decided to go to Palestine, and that way they'll be able to really, you know, gain a lot of backing that they needed to create a country.
I think they got more Christians convinced of that than Jews.
That's a fact. And by taking Palestine, unfortunately, what they did was they created this, of course, this rift. They drove a rift between these people who were living together. Christians, Muslims, and Jews were living together for hundreds and hundreds of years, enjoying, you know, a beautiful, harmonious coexistence. I'm not saying there were never any bumps in the road anywhere in any Arab country, but basically we were living together, helped each other. It was a very religious Jewish community that was living in Palestine, and they lived side by side. They went to the Wailing Wall and prayed with the permission of the Mufti, and this is facts that are there are live testimonies still to that, and we had no problems of coexistence. And then Zionism came along with their plan to take over the rule of the land and make it a so-called Jewish state, and they created this terrible hate and this endless river of bloodshed that we are seeing till today. And the ironic issue of that is that Judaism does not allow the Jewish people, according to the religion, for us to attempt to create our own homeland prior to the day that we as Jews believe one day God will make a miracle, a metaphysical change, a miracle where all humanity will believe in one God. And then that's what we yearn for as religious Jews, and we pray for that constantly. And when God makes that, it will be without any human intervention. It will be just the fact that the world will believe in God, and then we believe we will all go up and serve him. And that's what we pray for the Messiah and so forth, and that God will rebuild Jerusalem without human intervention, and we will serve him. And that's the concept of Messiah by us, the Mashiach we call, and the rebuilding of a Jewish of King David's family and different things like that, which will be not against the will of the other people. On the contrary, we the will of all humanity. But prior to that, we were put under oath by God, three oaths, which is a prophecy of King Solomon, and was accepted and practiced and respected by Jews for these 2,000 years since the destruction of the temple. And these three oaths are that we are not to attempt to return en masse in large numbers to the Holy Land. We are not to we're not to rebel against any nation. We have to be loyal citizens in every country we're residing. And thirdly, not to make any attempt to end exile. And Zionism comes along and claims in the name of Judaism, they went up, they're making a state, they're encouraging Jews to go up in mass there, they're rebelling against the indigenous people, they're calling themselves the beginning of God's redemption, which is, so it flies in the face of all these concepts that I've said. And of course, on top of that, they're oppressing the people that are living there, so they're committing the crimes of stealing and killing and doing in every facet.
Well, like you said,
breaching the Torah. That's what Judaism is all about.
Yeah, they hide behind the guise of religion, but a lot of them are actually atheists.
Right, and I mean, it's a fact that Theodor Herzl, the father of Zionism, had one son, and he wrote in newspapers, his name was Hans, and he said he's not even going to circumcise him, which is one of the basics of the covenants of the Covenant of a Jew. We have the, in our site, www.nkusa.org for the Ture Carta. It's www.n as in Nancy, www.nkusa.org. We have also compiled writings of the Zionist leaders, and you wouldn't believe how they detested, how much they detested the religion, and that they were simply trying to recreate what it means to what Judaism is, and to uproot from the Jews their connection to God. For instance, Jabotinsky, who was Zev Jabotinsky, one of the leaders right. of Zionism, as Theodor the Herzl was. He was the mentor of Begin, Menachem Begin, who was a prime minister. He wrote that Jews with beards and payas, payas is the sidelocks. In other words, Jews who go with the dress of the Jews as they have for hundreds of years should be second-class citizens in their national home and not have a right to vote. And that's, I'm quoting him from a newspaper article. And we have put out a book called Traditional Torah, Opposition to Zionism. And you could find that there. And
apparently he learned well from him because Begin went on to found or help found the Ergun terrorist group that bombed the King David Hotel.
Right, and their history shows that they say that, you know, people look at them as people who are defending the religion, defending you know, Judaism, because simply they're lacking, you know, the knowledge and lacking of the facts, and they, people just think that the more the religious you are, the more Jewish you are, the more you support the state of Israel and Zionism, and you're opposed to the Palestinian people and their plight. But the truth is that the more the religious the Jew, the more we oppose Zionism. And that you can see if you would come to, say, New York, which is the center of Judaism in the United States, and you go to Williamsburg, right across from Manhattan. It's in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And you'll see it's the most concentrated religious Jewish area, and there's not one Israeli flag. And the same would be for any part if you would go to any part of the world, if you go to the UK and you go to Stamford Hills, London, which is the most religious Jewish area, or you go to Jerusalem or Beit Shemesh or in Mea Shearim in Jerusalem, where the most religious concentrated Jewish communities are and that were there prior to the state especially, you will find that that they're anti-Zionist. And because, like I say, the Zionism contradicts our religion, and we suffer, and our hearts cry for the suffering of the Palestinian people. And we're humiliated because what is being done to them is being done in the name of Judaism, in the name of we who carry the symbols of Judaism, that we do go with the beards and payas, you know, and it's placed on us as if we are the ones who are supporting taking over of the land from the Palestinians. And by the way, that quote that I said about Zev Jabotinsky, it was in a newspaper called Chadashos Haaretz. It's 1919. That was in October 22nd, 1919. And it's an article called "Outside the Camp." And I'm quoting him. He said, "In the national home, we will announce that those Jews who have on themselves the rust of exile and refuse to shave off the beards and earlocks will be second-class citizens and will not have the right to vote." And Theodor Herzl wrote in his own diary on page 16, he wrote, page 14, he wrote, "The way to solve the problem of anti-Semitism is to speak to the head priest of Vienna to get an appointment with the Pope to make a mass conversion of all the Jews of Austria to Catholicism. It should be done on Sunday in the middle of the day with music and pride publicly. We are the last generation that held on to the faith of our forefathers." In other words, he detested the religion so much that he's looking that the Jews should just drop their religion. I mean, it's just, it's so mind-boggling that this person should be the hero of Judaism and supposedly coming to save us, and they call the Arabs the enemies, when it's a fact throughout history that we, by the Inquisition, by the Crusades, by World War II, Jews found a safe haven, and we enjoyed the hospitality, the really gracious hospitality of Muslim and Arab lands, and we are required by God to show our gratitude for that. So we are humiliated, our hearts cry, and we are frustrated by what's happening to the Palestinian people, and it's being done in our name.
In your name, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely relate to the frustration, the hypocrisy.
Yeah, I mean, we again. I point to our book that we have traditional. We have a book called "The Rabbis Speak Out," and we have a book published again that we that's the traditional the documents, traditional Torah opposition to Zionism, historic documents. And we have, let's say, in 1947, a year prior to the ratification of the state. 1948 was when the United Nations ratified the state. And a year prior to that, the chief rabbi of Palestine, his name was Rabbi Dushinsky, blessed memory, pleaded with the United Nations, and I have a declaration that he gave delivered to the United Nations on July 16th, 1947, and I'm just quoting one sentence. He said, "We furthermore wish to express our definite opposition to a Jewish state in any part of Palestine." And this is the chief rabbi of Palestine. And you should not confuse, but they have a rabbinate now in Israel and a chief rabbi, so-called. These are all really a farce because they do not represent the Judaism. We had a rabbinate. We have rabbis. We have a rabbinate still today in Palestine that does not recognize the state of Israel. And what they have is just like window dressing. Like I say, like they try to put an aura of religion onto their state with using the Star of David and all these Jewish symbols, and it's just to intimidate. And it's used that if anybody dares speak up against the crimes committed by the state of Israel, so then they claim you're anti-Semitic by speaking up. When in truth,
now, have they ever gone so far to call you a Jew an anti-Semite, or did they reserve that just for Gentiles?
Well, us, they call self-hating Jews, and you know, and they try to ridicule us, or you know, claim, oh, it's a fringe group, even though the fact, again, if people would just look beyond the headlines and you know the main media sources, that is influenced very, very strongly by Zionism. But if you go beyond that, then you, as I say, you go to any very religious Jewish community, you'll find the more religious, the more anti-Zionist. If you go beyond these media outlets, you know, you go to the alternative media, and today it could be the major media. You go to, and you will find that we have demonstrations of tens and hundreds of thousands of people, whether it is in Jerusalem or around the world, in New York and Washington. Again, you can see it on our site or links from our site, from nkusa.org, and you will see that we demonstrate, and it just does not get reported on. And it is the voice of true Judaism. And if you'll see when they make their, let's say, their major march, they make the Israeli Independence Day parade in Manhattan, you'll look, you'll notice that it's not the religious, it's marginally religious at best, but the major religious communities do not celebrate Zionism in any manner. Now, I'm not saying that they do not cross into the religious communities, that there's not religious Zionists. There are religious Zionists, and it's just it needs a little explanation. If you bear with me a minute, I'll try with God's help. That comes from the fact that, first of all, by World War II, you know, before Hitler unfortunately decimated the Jewish community, the around the world, all the religious communities ostracized Zionism because, as I say, it's totally contradictory to what it means to be a Jew. And it was, and their leaders and the followers were in almost in its entirety, like you were saying, either atheists or at least anti-religious. But then, unfortunately, after World War II, when the millions of Jews and the especially the rabbis and the leaders, you know, the learned people were murdered. They were the first to be murdered by Hitler, and even in Stalin in Russia, he went after the learned people, always the educated. And what happened was, therefore, the Jews were left leaderless. The Zionists were able to manipulate that they should bring up many Jews out of the refugee camps to Palestine, and they started using the fear factor, you know, fear mongering, telling the Jews that you should know the Arabs. These are Jews from Europe. They had no knowledge of the Muslim Arab communities, and they said, you should know that they hate you like the Nazis, and they're ready to throw you into the sea. And they used a lot of propaganda, so they put this fear, this panic. So many Jews, although they do not want Zionism, they say, you know, we're in a catch-22 situation, and therefore some of them support not returning land because of this fear. But again, there is a very large community who was very solidly anti-Zionist. The more religious, the more anti-Zionist. But they are able to get a small part of the community be through fear to support not returning land. And then they have the other part that the modern religious, which you always see in the front pages because they are on the borders, and those are the settlers or something, that are Zionists that were ensnared into the Zionist propaganda at the beginning of God's redemption. And, you know, like the way they were able to con Jews to support them at the beginning, using the claim that they're, you know, God's, you know, dream. But that was that is a minority who follows that, and it's based on lack of knowledge. And unfortunately, like I say, they come from either mostly entirely from non-religious families or very marginally religious, not the truly religious. So it's a little complicated. But the fact is, Judaism cannot accept this state of Israel in any shape, manner, or form, because it's completely contradictory to the Jewish teaching. It's forbidden, and we pray every day for the entire, and God help, speedy and peaceful dismantlement of the state. And Jews around the world who are true to Judaism, and we are quite, thank God, we have very strong communities, we stand strong in this truth to the Torah, and we will never accept it.
So, I imagine you've gotten a lot of backlash from the Zionist community, probably including threats.
Yes, and that's another point that's very important to understand, that Zionism is very efficient in controlling and many issues. The media, they have Media Watch, and they threaten any newspapers or any media outlets that shows some sympathy for Palestinian plight, or that shows our demonstrations or anything of that nature. They'll attack them as being anti-Semitic, and they tell them that they'll attack their advertisements. They'll see that people shouldn't advertise. They're very shrewd, and they're very capable what they're doing. The same thing is with AIPAC. Any politician who dares to be vocal in support of the Palestinian people is right away accused of being anti-Semitic, and as it's Paul Finley, a congressman, wrote a book about that, and it's very, very well known that people don't dare to speak up against what the state of Israel is doing, because it's committing political suicide. The same thing, and on a much larger way, the Jewish community itself, when we demonstrate against them, and we're always peaceful, we're never militant, and we're always threatened, and in the Holy Land, we have pictures, and anybody can see it. It's really breathtaking. You wouldn't believe what you would see. They brutally beat, they arrest, they put Jews in prison. They've murdered rabbis, they've assassinated rabbis it's well documented that they've been doing this since 1924. We have one of the most famous martyrs, maybe the first famous martyr was a Jew, Dr. Dahan, because he said he's going to go to British Parliament to report to the world that that Zionism doesn't represent the Jewish community. They, in the Haganah, assassinated him in front of Shari Tzedek Hospital. It's their own records. And so that has been going on till today, that our rabbis have been murdered. They're beaten whenever they make demonstrations, and there's a picture there to support all of this. You can see it. It's ongoing. They're arrested without any reason. Again, we never are.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. They get spit on.
And that, of course, puts fear into the majority of the Jewish community to speak up, because they're anti-Zionist, but they're afraid to speak up because of the intimidation. But here in the United States, which, thank God, you know, we have the protection of our police and so forth, so we do demonstrate. But of course, we're also threatened. We're attacked. But thank God, you know, we have God gave us them, and they should be blessed. Give them long years that they protect us, that we're not brutally beaten. And thank God. But we are attacked. We are threatened, and people lose their jobs. After every demonstration that we make, after every major demonstration, what they do is they take pictures. They come brazenly taking pictures of all the people that are demonstrating, and then they study the pictures. They'll see people they recognize, and they'll go to the businesses that they work in, and they'll say, "Look, you do business with this and this company. We'll cut off our business." And they really basically intimidate, and so it's very hard to be open in, you know, our position to Zionism. It's still in law, as I say, thank God. We have large numbers who stand up and demonstrate because we feel it's our godly obligation to let the world know that this terrible crime what in Arab they call the Nakba, this tragedy that is being perpetrated against both the Palestinian people and against the, we believe, against the Jewish people. This endless river of bloodshed is totally against God, and it doesn't, it's not from the Jewish laws that this is coming, but on the contrary, what we would say, it's the works of the Satan, you know, what's happening here, because it has no legitimacy whatsoever.
I hear you. I tell you what, we got to take a short break in just a moment, but I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the website, I think it was nkusa.com, is that it?
.org, nkusa.org, and it's N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, K as in King, USA like the country, nkusa.org.
And is that where you can go to get the books you were talking about? Or?
Yes, with God's help, yes, and everything is very, very just to cover the cost of whatever, you know, the publishing. It's very cheap. It's everything is. We are trying to get our word out. Not when this is not a money making.
A money making scheme, right?
Yeah.
Right. I'll tell you what, we're gonna take that short break.
And another thing is that anybody can take. Anybody can take from our site whatever they'd like, you know, without any charge. We're not, you know, it's free of cost, whatever, you know, they would like. It's not copyrighted or something. Anything can be taken. Most of the issues, unless it's clearly stated that it's, you know, a copyright book or something.
Okay, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back. We're going to take some questions here, too, when we get back. So stick with us. Okay, everybody, welcome back. Once again, this is the People Speak Radio Show. Your host, Charles Giuliani, was speaking with Rabbi Weiss, who's an anti-Zionist rabbi. Been having a very interesting discussion here. I wanted to go to some questions that have been coming in via text. Before I do that, though, I wanted to ask you, are you affiliated at all, or are you familiar with JewsAgainstZionism.com? Are they a group that you work with?
Or? Right. There is, I think if you look at links from nkusa.org, we have there's many people, many, you know, groups and communities that are anti-Zionist, and we you know, basically we share the basic beliefs we share of being anti-Zionist. You know, we have different, everybody, different groups have different approaches of how we're able to basically educate the world and how we do it and things like that. But we
the
are
same basic premise, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been familiar with them for years. In fact, that website, probably more than anything else, is what opened my eyes to the problem of Zionism. They did a really good job talking about, you know, Theodore Herzl and quoting from him extensively. It was quite an education.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go to some of these questions here. Let's see. One I wanted to ask you really quick, and then we'll get to some of the ones that are coming in here. Have you worked at all directly, you know, with any Palestinian groups? Have you been over there trying to firsthand? Yeah, you want to tell us about that? Or?
Yes, with God's help. I mean, we feel it's our responsibility, you know, to not only that we sympathize in our hearts, you know, with their plight, with the Palestinian plight, but we try to do what we can. We've put together money for aid, medical aid, and we went to Gaza. We're apolitical. We're non-political, so. What we say is, of course, that the Palestinian people should pick and choose their leadership and so forth, but, and then they all understand that, so we don't get involved, basically, in who they choose. So, like, we're good with the Palestinian mission, with President Abbas. We congratulated him when he became president. We met with him a few times already, and at the same time, we went to Gaza. We brought medical aid. We had a delegation of rabbis, and we were embraced by the leadership over there, the Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh, who's from Hamas. And of course, we don't. Let's clear something up. We don't in any manner condone violence or anything. But what we say is that the world should understand that the root of all this bloodshed and this catastrophe is because of the existence of Zionism in the State of Israel. If you would remove this impediment, then to peace, then we would be able to coexist as we've had with that. Before there was a human rights group or United Nations, we were able to coexist, and there was never a problem. It's not like Zionism portrays that this is something to do with difference because they're Muslim or Arab and we're Jews. That's totally not true. And you know, so, and they understand that, the leadership of, you know, the Muslim and Arab communities understand that. So we went, we brought them medical aid, we cried with them, we went to visit the orphanages, you know, that came about through the destruction of Gaza We visited the sick. We went to different places over there, and we went, I think, around three times I was there. We actually went to visit. Of course, I went to visit in Lebanon. We went to visit refugee camps. Again, cried with them, felt their suffering. So of course, we can't feel in full their suffering, but we let them at least know that Jews around the world suffer with them. We hurt with them, and we understand, and we know that it's totally criminal, and this shouldn't be happening. And it's the world should be should awaken to the fact that they're victims. And the problem here is one thing and one thing only: the creation of the state. And if it wouldn't be for that, then we would be living together, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Arabs, and Jews. You know, we'd be living together. There wouldn't be a problem. And we try to tell the world. We go to United Nations conferences, whether it's in Geneva or here in the U.S. or when it was in South Africa, in Durban. You know, we beg the leaders of the world, and we beg people, human rights activists, to study the issue and see clearly that they've been misled. That the problem here, they've tried so many different peace proposals and things, on the premise that you have to have this Zionist state. And if somebody stands back and says, look, you know, if the problem is that you want to eradicate Judaism, God forbid, then you say it can't happen. So therefore, you have a problem, and you can't get past, step one. But if you understand that the problem is something, a new neighbor, neighbor to the block, you know, and the new neighbor is Zionism. Who says that that has to be? You know, it's just a political idea that's a flawed political idea that came about around 100-odd years ago by a group of people. And who says that you have to force that issue? We've been living together with Jews and Muslims and Christians. Just remove this flawed political, selfish political idea that's using the Judaism as an intimidation to confuse people, you know, to make people think that this has to be. If you remove that, then history attests to the fact that we've been living together, and we can continue living. So we go to we were embraced by the people in the refugee camps, the Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon, in Hezbollah, as I said, and we went to Gaza, and then we went to other Arab countries, and every time we find the same thing. We were able to see the Jewish communities that, till Zionism came about, flourished. We went to visit their synagogues there, and we've had Jewish people and Muslim people coming to us from all over, and always attest to the fact that they've lived together, enjoyed each other's friendship in every Arab land, whether it was in Egypt or Tunisia, Morocco, or in, for that matter, the Islamic Republic of Iran. We went to Iran countless times. We met with their leadership, again, apolitical. We met with President Khatami. Since President Ahmadinejad is president, we've met with him many times, and each time, and this is on the internet, everybody can hear his conversations with us, where he says clearly, I respect the Jewish people, I have Jewish communities. There's like the second largest Jewish community is in Iran, over 20,000 Jews.
He's not half the demon that they make of him, of course.
And he says, I support them, and I want them, you know, and we have no problem with them. He says, I don't plan to do anything like they claim that he wants to do. He says he doesn't believe that God accepts the evil that is being done to the Palestinian people and to the Jewish people. He understands that the Jewish people are suffering, and which we are. I mean, like
their methods are wrong. Their aims are wrong. I mean, everything.
So no physically, both physically Jews are being beaten, and spiritually Jews are being robbed of their religion because, let's say, the USSR, after it disappeared, so then there was hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Jews who were thirsting back for their religion. 70 years they weren't able to have anything, but they were totally ignorant of the religion, and they thought to be a good Jew simply to support the state of Israel because they didn't know anything more than that. And truth is, Judaism is one thing and one thing only, to be subservient to God. So what they've done, Zionism has uprooted from the Jewish people what they've uprooted their soul, the connection to God. They've created an ersatz Judaism, which is void of godliness, of spirituality, and it's just unheard of. It's like you make an atheist the Pope and say, you know, that Christianity is some type of nationalistic concept. In other words, you know, it's ridiculous, and yet this is what they're accomplishing. But God help, there is a strong Jewish community, and we hope that the Jews will return to their religion and drop this terrible calamity called Zionism.
So let me ask you, and this ties in with one of the questions that has come in from Greg in New York. Have you ever had any trouble entering or leaving Israel because of your participation in these protests and assistance to Palestinians?
Well, colleagues of mine have. I mean, of course, as I said, there's a very strong, solid Jewish community that is anti-Zionist, that doesn't recognize the state of Israel, that is living in Palestine. A lot of times they have problems with the government over there. They don't take support from them, a lot of them. They don't take, medical aid and everything. They're very poor because of that, and they refuse to serve in the army. And in fact, if you go, the majority of religious Jews don't, even the ones that do take some type of funding from the state or such, because they feel they don't see how they can, exist, because that's the way the system is set up. They pay taxes there, a tremendous amount of taxes, and yet they don't fly Israeli flags on their school buildings, and they don't serve in the Israeli army. So, it's, the majority of religious Jews refuse to recognize the state, refuse to support it, at least. And there's a large community that refuses to recognize it at all. But even the ones that do, I said, because it happens to be just like the Palestinian people who, or the Arab people living this, they feel that they have to have representation. Some of them do have representation. We don't agree with this groups, that have representation in the Israeli government, but there is a segment of the religious community that does that, and yet they live there simply because against their will accept the fact that there is an Israeli government, which they don't enjoy and they don't celebrate. But so when sometimes they travel, they have problems. Now, the chief rabbi of Palestine, his name was Rabbi Teitelbaum of blessed memory, left well over around 40 years ago. And moved to New York and moved to Williamsburg, and then they made a community that's on the map. It's called KJ, Kiryas Joel, in upstate New York. And he has hundreds of thousands of followers. He passed away around 30 years ago. And remained with the title of Chief Rabbi of Palestine. He urged his people. He had many people living in Jerusalem and in Palestine, but yet he urged people, not to go if it wasn't necessary, not to go there and so forth, not to give support to the state of Israel in any manner. So me and many of my colleagues simply don't go because we don't want to show any recognition to the state. So I don't go there, so they can't make me any problems by going there because I refuse to go there anyway. But it happens to be after I went to Iran, they made an announcement that I believe me and my colleagues who went to Iran should not be allowed in. But it was a joke for us because we refused to go to them anyway. We don't want to give them any recognition. And I just want to repeat that about the President Ahmadinejad. Now, again, when I'm political, the point is that he's the president of the country. We want to make a strong point to the world that if you're anti what the state of Israel is doing to the Palestinians, that doesn't make you anti-Semitic. Iran is not anti-Semitic. And Egypt and all the other countries that we went to, they were, as a general, almost entirely, they saw us walking on the streets, and people were extremely friendly, from the layman to the spiritual leaders and the political leaders. They are, as a whole, almost across the board, we found it. We all together, we found that they were friendly and accepting. And President Ahmadinejad kept on saying, he said, look, if the Holocaust murdered millions and millions of Jewish people, and that happened in Europe, Germany, and so forth, and so let them, he said, make a state if they want, but not for the Jewish people. Why do the Palestinian people have to pay for the crimes of the Nazis? Now, of course, we don't agree that there should be any state of Israel at all. It's against the Jewish religion, but it's a totally logical thing. And he keeps on saying that not he is the one who's going to be meting out punishment. He said it's just that God does not accept such a thing. Now, Zionism, whenever anybody stands up and speaks logically against them, What they do is they vilify those people as the people in Gaza and so forth. People in Gaza, the leadership, Ismail Haniyeh, Embrace Us, Reuters was there, Associated Press, BBC, all the newspapers and the news outlets were there when he embraced us and said, look, we have nothing against Jews. We want to live together. We've always lived together. It was a public press conference we had, and he said, you know, he said just simply, we don't want to be oppressed and subjugated. And that's the fact. But yet they've vilified the people of Palestine as being anti-Semitic and that they hate the Jews. They want to murder the Jews. And that's the way Zionism, the ploy of Zionism, to vilify the victims and claim that everybody wants to murder them and they're anti-Semitic. And we're here to tell the world that's not true. You know, they're not. And we have to, on the contrary, we have to show our gratitude to these Palestinian people, to the people of the Muslim and Arab countries for the friendship that they've always provided for us throughout these hundreds of years.
Absolutely. Let me, we just got, maybe 7 or 8 more minutes left. I wanted to get another question or two in here. We got, this is a very good one from Mike in California. He asks, he says, Rabbi Weiss attended what many call a Holocaust denial conference in Iran, and he asks, do you acknowledge that the Holocaust happened, and if so, do you feel that is used as an excuse by Zionists to justify Israel's existence, you know, claiming the victim?
Right. Yes, of course, the Holocaust happened. My grandparents were killed in Auschwitz. As one of our most senior rabbis here, Rabbi Beck, he himself was in a bunker for the when the Nazis invaded Hungary, and his mother was killed by that. And so all of us, all our communities, almost in its entirety, are people whose our relatives were murdered by the Nazis, so it's in our blood. Yet, this was a decree of God, and it's a very, like a little bit of a complicated subject, but we recognize that God rules the world. God will meet an exacting punishment to these Nazis, to the Nazis, and to anybody who commits, you know, crimes and so forth. God is just and so forth. At the same time, we have to understand that God is compassionate, and we have to be introspective, understand what happened. We are not going, because the Holocaust happened, deny that there's a God in the world and say, therefore, we're going to rebel against him. And he told us that we're forbidden to have our own state. We're gonna, and like the Zionist mantra is, where was God? Therefore, we're going to take guns in our hands and create a state because God was too weak, God forbid, to protect us. And that's the proof in Hitler. That's why they keep on using the Holocaust as a tool to gain support, you know, Yad Vashem and all these, you know, Holocaust memorials, to claim that, you see, where was God, and to put Jews into fear and say, you see, you have to support us as an insurance policy. Now, we say to them, you know, think, step back, we tell people from the world, hear what they're saying. They're saying that Zionism is rooted in blasphemy, they're claiming that God can't protect us, therefore we have to make our own state. And so, in other words, you're dropping your Jewish religion and what God told us clearly not to do, and you're saying you don't believe in God anymore. So why are you calling yourself a Jewish state? You know, it's contradictory. Yeah. Call yourself something else. But so they're abusing the suffering that our religious communities that were murdered because they were Jews, and they're taking these Jews, and now they're trying to commit a second crime with that of oppressing another people and rebelling against God. So it's a double tragedy, the Holocaust, for us. Now, we grew up with the Holocaust. It's in our blood. Yet we don't use the whole, you know, we know to commemorate the people that died. We know that we have to
exploit and take advantage of people's goodwill.
Right. And let me just bring up about the Holocaust conference. Yeah. The Holocaust conference was not called the Holocaust denial conference. That's part of the Zionist ploy. What they wanted to do is, it was his main issue was to say that the Palestinian people should not suffer because, as I said earlier, what happened to the people of the Jewish people should not be an excuse to punish the Palestinian people. It doesn't make sense. He did not deny the Holocaust, and there was many people there who were very clearly authoritative, you know, they were professors and so forth who knew of the Holocaust, exactly what happened in the Holocaust. There was a lot of information. There were many more people who were supposed to come but were intimidated, and they didn't come because of the Zionist threats and so forth. So, and it was an opportunity to speak to the Arab and Muslim world and speak about the fact that the Holocaust happened, but it should not be used to commit another crime. And that's what it's all about. And the Zionists do use the Holocaust, as I say, as an intimidation, which is, again, another part of this, another link in this terrible tragedy of Zionism, that the Jews suffered so badly, and now we're using these Jews who died because they were Jews to rebel against God. It's unacceptable.
Sure. I wanted to ask you, what was the feeling there at the conference? It sounds like it was very cordial. People were respective, that there wasn't any arguments breaking out or...
The vast majority of people, I wonder if they issued tapes or something, because they said they will, and there was supposed to be tapings of all the events. At least you can go on our site and you can hear my speeches. I spoke right after, at the opening, right after the foreign minister spoke. And I said exactly what I said here, that, millions of Jews, with confidence that result of the conference will show that millions of Jews were murdered, but they shouldn't be used to abuse, you know, to the Palestinian people and so forth. And most of the people, almost in its entirety, follow this theme. There were a group of people who tried to, which everybody knows about them, who a small group who was saying that, you know, they're questioning that certain aspects of the gas chambers. And when they started speaking, there was hissing in the forum. I mean, it was unbelievable. People didn't want to accept them at all. They were because people took umbrage and were very upset with even this thought that, you know, that they didn't deny it openly from what I heard from their speaking, but they wanted to say that it couldn't, gassing didn't happen like this and like that, and people like to scorn them basically because, you know, it hurt everybody because everybody wasn't there to deny the Holocaust. But like I said, it was supposed to be.
Yeah,
like
I'm glad
more.
That it went cordial, and if they ever do it again, I'd be.
As I say, I spoke, and many people spoke, and we were applauded, and everybody.
How many people would you say were there?
It was a good few years ago, but there was quite a large number of people. But as I say, I met professors. I met some professors who were a lot of facts that I didn't know of the Holocaust. There was from Russia, like they were telling me about how much.
I tell you what, Rabbi, we're almost out of time. I just wanted to ask you one more quick question. This just came in. I'm curious about this myself. This is from Duke in Canada. Sorry to cut you off. He asks, there's rumors that, wait a second. Actually, that's not the one. This is the one I want. This is from Rob in Canada. Does the rabbi feel that the Mossad was in any way involved in 9/11?
We always say that, unfortunately, they've committed brutal crimes against both Jews and non-Jew alike. We don't put anything past them, you know.
Yeah,
but we don't. We don't have any knowledge. We're not into. We're just coming from the religious issue. But
right.
Without getting into side issues,
so
we'd just like to say, just the open facts, what they've done to the Palestinian people and what they're doing to the Jews. That's enough. To incriminate them.
Shut them down.
God help, it should be an end to this impediment to peace. God help speedily and peacefully, without getting into side issues, which we know they've caught sometimes on this and that and different issues. And it's a whole. There's many other subjects about them that we could talk about, how they were complicit in the Holocaust, also that they worked with the Nazis, and it's unbelievable.
Well, I tell you what, we'll have to have you back on.
Yeah, well, with God's help, yes.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I wish we had more time. There's so many other things I wanted to ask, other questions that have come in as well. But anyway, I want to thank you for taking the time out and joining us, and I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. It sounds great. Yeah, I think you're making some headway.
Right. Thank you very much. God bless, and we'll be in touch.
You bet. Okay, take care. Once again, folks, the website is, what is it, N... Are you there, Rabbi?
www.nk, N as in Nancy, K as in King, USA.org. And God bless you. You should be able to do God's work. Let the world bring peace to the world with God's help.
You bet. Okay,
thank
folks,
you.
Next week we'll be joined by actor and comedian Richard Belzer. You don't want to miss that. It'll be a very interesting interview. Until then, have a great week. We'll see you then. Take care. Thanks again, Rabbi.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the sea wall, by the relief office, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. The This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.